Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. This week's guest is David Hulse. David is a spiritual guide, teacher, and healer with decades of experience bringing traditional religion and contemporary spiritual insight, or bridging, excuse me. From a fundamentalist Christian background, his transformative awakening led him to explore the divine beyond literal doctrines, embracing a universal love-centered spirituality. As founder of the Academy for Spiritual Awakening, David integrates ancient wisdom with modern science, guiding individuals toward direct experience of the divine within. His teachings inspire a shift from 3D materialism to 5D consciousness, empowering lightworkers to co-create a more awakened, inclusive world. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to our time together.
Yes, definitely. So I would love to always, I always start with everybody at their beginning, and I would love to hear about your upbringing and then what really was the catalyst for kind of that shift.
Okay, great. Well, I was raised in a very fundamentalist family in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was known for oil and oral. Oral Roberts being the healer and oil being the capital of the world at that time. So I was right in the middle of religion itself, no doubt about it, raised with it. The way I describe myself is I had a different rapport with time and space. In other words, things just did not fit the way that I was culturally and ancestrally trying to be formed and put in a box. I just didn't fit that box. So by that experience I've had, I have a feeling there's other people maybe listening to us who had that same feeling that they came in on a different vibration through a different portal of some kind, and that we're more conscious born people. People ask me all the time, why am I the only one in my family that's into this spiritual metaphysical thing? Because I think that you came in on that vibration and others have just not caught up yet. And that's why we're here to do working with vibration and sound. We're on this podcast to tune people, right? Because they have forgotten why they're really here. And so today, the intent of the frequency of our conversation is to help people to awaken to their purpose of why they've incarnated at this unique time. But anyway, because I heard all of the dogma and the doctrine and the fear-based and all of that, it just did not register with me, this amorphomorphic old man in the sky kind of teaching. But I felt when I would sit in those meetings, there was something else in my heart that just came alive. I didn't know what it was. Today I'd call it the presence within. And that presence is the a part of me that I have forgotten who I was. And so I began to come to a conclusion. One of the first things that I like to share with people that started me on a different trajectory than the religion was that it just came to me one day in prayer, nobody in the Bible spoke English. Now, I thought, I would have never thought of that. Where did that come from? So I knew that I was downloading from somewhere else in myself. Maybe we call it the higher self. But I began to realize, then what did they say if they didn't speak English? So I was guided to start looking into Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and the languages and the cultures of the time. Now, as you know, when we're raised in Western fundamental Christianity, we're warned against any Eastern teaching, which is ridiculous because the whole Bible is Eastern. Everything they did was Eastern. Everyone was Eastern in the Bible. So that began my way out. I'm going to say, of the religion. And I begin to follow that path. Well, I begin to talk about it. And the more I talked about it, the more people wanted to listen to it. And that was over 60 years ago when my ministry was born at that particular time. So it truly was a calling in my life. When I hear other people say to me, I don't know why I'm here for, I haven't found my purpose. I don't know that, because I knew my purpose very early, as long as I can remember consciousness. So that's how it all started. And then I went into some experiences. One was in the late 80s, in which I kind of lost my whole belief system. And I thought I'd lost God, but I realized the belief system was my God. So I didn't lose the reality of who God was. I lost a belief system that I had worshiped. And there's a place in Psalms that says we made idols that had eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, throat that can't speak, which is kind of how we build these images of our mind of things. But the scary part of that passage is, and they became like them. So if I've created an image of God as vindictive, then I've taken on a vindictive nature and give God the glory for it. But I'm the one that's doing it. So anyway, that's kind of how it started. And then I was introduced to somebody called Marianne Williamson and A Course in Miracles that had the language of my religion in it. You know, it talked about Jesus, talked about sin and all that. And I'm going, but that's different. So it really was a way of downloading a new program of my Christianity. And so I began to teach A Course in Miracles. I've never got caught with any one particular school of thought, but I have gleaned from all of them. In my speaking, you might hear Kabbalah, you might hear A Course in Miracles, you may hear mystic Christianity, you may hear, and I'm really into Gnostic teachings, the Nag Hammadi versions that were found in 1945 have been big to me. So anyway, I could go on and on and on because I've got a whole 60 years of life path here to talk about, but that brings me to here, right now with you.
Definitely. So what would you say then, you know, with your understandings of God early on versus your understandings of what we can call, you know, quote unquote, God today, what does that voice sound like now as opposed to what it sounded like before for you?
Well, it sounds like a part of me. Mm-hmm. It sounds like not a separate voice from me, but a voice of a part of myself that has become awakened and quickened. And at that point, the voice becomes natural, not supernatural, but it becomes a natural part. And to me, how I know it is it's more like a whisper. It's more like a wind that's blowing through the limbs of a tree. And as it blows through the tree, it takes all the cobwebs of old traditional teachings that are not innate, are aligned to me. So I really wrestled with this whole thing of God. I sometimes wish maybe we'd even not use the word God, but we have to in 3D language. But it's a word that actually came from German that means good. Mm-hmm. Which was Gut. And before that, and people say to me, what was before God? What was before God? What was before God? And every time they tell me something, I say, well, what was before that? What was before that? And then they run out and say, I don't know. I said, you're there. You're there. You've arrived, because it's in the silence of the ego mind. It's in that when we run out of analyzing it and interpreting it and perceiving it, that we have really entered into the presence. My definition of God, and I had to get my own for me that I'm comfortable with, and I think everybody needs to do that, but mine was a non-local, undefinable consciousness interacting with itself. And we are the itself in which it's interacting with. So that helped me, because in the Gnostic teaching, we know that the true high creator is undefinable. It's beyond any human comprehension. And therefore, it had to use frequency and vibration to lower itself all the way down to where it could be awakened in the human story. And that's the way I see Yeshua, or Jesus as they call him. I don't see him as the Christian Jesus that I once knew, but I see him as myself awakening in the illusion of my own dream and being in the world, but not of the world. hence 3D, 5D. I'm in 3D, but I'm not a 5. I'm not a 3D, but I am more what I call 5D, transcendent or awakened. And I think that's the call that's going out. That's why I get on these podcasts, because I think there is a call going out to a critical mass of people that are being called. They're here for this time to come together and create a collective consciousness that will manifest as a new earth that everybody's talking about. But I don't think it's going to be one messiah, one teacher, one guru, one of anything. It's going to be a collective group of people. And I'm on here to just put out that call. That kind of help you to know where I'm going on that.
Definitely. No, I'm just listening. I was writing down some questions as you were sure. talking. So I'm going to go to the first question first, and I'll circle back to this 3D and 5D. So I completely agree about redefining what God is, because that word, you know, carries a very specific type of baggage with it. So it's very difficult for people when you utilize that word to disconnect, you know, from the stories that we have attached to quote unquote God. But the definition that you created for yourself, and yes, I think we each need to do so. And this is something I've talked to people about, but I want to get your take. Sometimes, you know, people want a very personal relationship with what we would like to call the creator or what have you, right? Something that's, you know, supposedly out there, which is an illusion, but a lot of people look at it that way. Your definition, and even my own, I would say, could be looked at as very impersonal. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people struggle with something like that, because then it seems like, well, where is that loving, you know, even though we could even debate the loving God in the Bible, but where is that loving God that wants to care of me and is making sure that everything's, you know, working out in my favor and loves me and reassures me, all that other great stuff. If we have this definition that seems impersonal, people are not necessarily inclined, you know what I mean, to kind of relate to some sort of definition like that.
I agree. And I do believe, in fact, in the fundamentalist church I was raised in, they would use this term, having a personal relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because I think that the idea of the awakening of the incarnation of the divine into the human story, and that's what Jesus represents to me. It represents a story of the incarnation, or the moment that consciousness awoke in the human story and was available. Our deity was available to be known and to be discovered at that time. Well, that's a personal thing. You can't get that in a church or a religion or a group or anything like that. That's your individual. And that's why I've always encouraged people to make sure that you do things that are individual to you, such as meditation. I know that's worn out, but it's still such a powerful thing to understand that it is one way in which we learn how to personally connect with the divine and something much bigger than ourselves. And it's not us going to it, but it's it coming to us. That is the difference. We always think of ascension, but also there's descension of the higher aspects of spirituality that is coming in all the time to us. So I think everybody who follows their heart, follows their higher self, will be led into personal ways. I taught vibration sound therapy for 25 years using tuning forks very successfully, but that did not appeal to everybody. But some people loved it. It was like what they've been looking for. And they had a real Gnostic Gnosis direct knowledge experience in tuning forks. Some people are very excited about Reiki or all the different modalities that are out there is attracting certain people as a tool for a personal experience to happen. And that experience I call gnosis, which is the Greek word for knowledge. That's direct knowledge. If I sat here and told you all about London, and I would tell you about the population and everything. I've never been to London, but I could have looked it up on the internet. I could have read it in a book. So I gave you knowledge. But I've been to London, and I've walked the streets of London, and I know London. That's gnosis. And I think that's what we're individually looking for, is that moment of personal gnosis experience of direct contact. And really, we've never been lost. We just forgot it. And that's what awakening means, is to remember.
Exactly. So what is, okay, I know you talked about like the shift from 3D consciousness to like 5D consciousness. So what does 5D consciousness look like to create a new earth? And what does that new earth look like?
Wow. I think that's a question of faith. But we know what 3D looks like, right? Because we live it every day. We wake up in 3D. But there are people listening to us that I'm sure has had some times they've experienced a transcendent experience, that they have felt that rise in consciousness, that change of frequency, and entered into a place in which they felt peace. I'm going to use Bible here. Peace that passes understanding. It's not the peace the world gives me, but it's the peace of the I am that I am, which is the God that I am. Peace is God. God didn't have peace. It is the peace. And that peace, when we tend to experience that, is a 5D experience. So imagine 3D without some of the density of 3D, and you'd have 5D. And so therefore, it would be like the earth in its density. It's like moving up the chakras, I guess, a little bit, if I can use that term, because the root chakra is earth and density and whatever. But as you move up, they get less dense and less dense. Well, the earth is kind of going through that place of which it's ascending out of the density of itself. And I think the earth will become more ethereal, less dense. It'll have, and when it does that, it will shed the density of itself, such as prejudice, hatred, racism, genderism. Every ism that we're dealing with in 3D will not be able to be established in the 5D. Well, that'll make the earth we know look all new without those kind of things. Just imagine an earth without what's going on right now. Oh my God, what's going on right now? Just imagine you could just wipe that all away, and people are loving each other, and people are coming together, and everything that is causing us division is all taken away like it was a dream. Like, I think I remember that. I'm not sure if that happened or not. Then you're into 5D. Now, 5D is a curve frequency, because you have 3D, space, time, 4D, linear. But when you get to 5D, it catches the vortex, or the curve of that the universe uses. So 5 spins into 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and so on and so forth. So once you're into 5D, then you become accessible to your multidimensional self. That's why now we pick up books and it's not universe, it's multiverse. It's not self, but it's multi-self, because it's coming into the collective consciousness of what is being open to us in this 5D experience. So I think there's a lot of people listening to us that don't even understand they're coming in and out of 5D all the time, and don't even realize it, that it's happening. But imagine establishing that as a new norm. Love is a new norm over fear, oneness and unity over division and separation. Then we have moved into a 5D new earth.
So I have to ask this question now. This again is going to be just based off of maybe my belief system or some other people's belief system. So many people believe that we come to Earth as a school, right? Earth is a place of duality. So you're going to have light and dark. You're going to have this contrast for the purposes of learning. So here's, I guess, kind of my question. If we take that as true and we have this ascension whereby we're all operating off of like 50 consciousness, then it's no longer really this place of duality, right? So then its purpose to me would ultimately shift from being a place of learning, through contrast to what, I guess, is kind of like my question, because it seems like the purpose of being here is for that. And if that were to change, then, what is the embodiment for?
Great. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Thank you for that. that question. First of all, I want to say that what's missing, as we talk about 3 and 5D, is 4D. So 4D is the in-between stage of 3 and 5. It's kind of like the old story of the children of Israel that was in Egypt in slavery, but they're trying to get to the promised land, but they had to go through the desert. Well, that's where we are. We're at a time in which everything in 3D that we have made for ourselves, and we must take responsibility for it. We're not victims. That's part of growing up in consciousness, is realizing that we collectively have made this 3D world that we're dealing with. It's a reflection of what we've not healed in ourselves. So I think that people need to understand that even though we're talking about 5D as a personal experience before it becomes a new norm in the collective. See what I'm saying? In other words, some of us are experiencing 5D things, but we're living in the 3D world, but we're actually going through the 4D process. In my spiritual center, I have written in the thing in the background that who shall stand in the gap and make up the hedge? I believe that we are in between worlds. We're not in 3D all completely. We're not in 5D, so we're kind of working in 4D. Now, 4D means that energy has ramped itself up from 3D, and in the ramping up, it is bringing out all of the pathologies of 3D in 4D. That's what's happening right now, is that everything in 3D that we have made, that we have suppressed, made an excuse for, blamed God for, blamed the devil for, blamed the government for, blamed everybody for, is our own pathologies collectively coming up for healers. And that's why there's such a call for healers right now, for light workers to show up. You have people listening to us who was attracted to a certain modality that maybe you hadn't made, it's not successful, but it's not maybe for them, but it's for now. You'll be so glad that you've learned how to do energy work, vibration, sound bowls, whatever it is that you wanted to learn, that you got into, will be a tool for us at this particular time. So I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, but in 4D, everything is intensified, is what I'm saying. Everything is intensified. The good, the bad, the ugly, the dark, and the light is all in a state of separation, polarity for the healing of the planet. And yes, I do think that 3D is God School 101, I used to call it, because we are here to work out all of our karma. I will say this to you. I was told I have no more lifetimes in 3D. This is my last lifetime. The answer is not over in linear time. It's up in vertical. So it's time that we, as the Bible says, Jesus said, when you see these things, look up, not over, but look up into a higher vibration and a higher frequency.
Yes. Why do you think, now I say this with the full awareness that there's no such thing as time, as I'll be told if I ask this question, but why do you think this is happening now? I don't know how else to ask this question except for to reference time itself. Why do you think this shift, if you will, is really happening now? Because as you said, things are, we're at a point where a lot of like the systems need to be deconstructed in order for a new, if you want to call it a new earth to come, that has to occur. And unfortunately, that means what's occurring now is occurring, right? So why do you think, and again, I was going to use the word now, why do you think this is happening now, I guess, if we're looking at linear time?
Love it. I love your questions. Well, if you will, indulge me, let me start with a Bible thing. For I shall come in an hour and a day you think not. For if the man in the house would have known I was coming, he'd been ready for me. So I come in an hour and a day you think not. So what that tells me is that there is no time limit on this. I can't tell you how many timelines I've heard. You know, there was 2012. Then, you know, I went out and I bought food and I got a little cabin and I got a generator. I've done all this for years and years and years when people tell me a date that something's going to happen. But it's not a date and it's not time, it's a consciousness. This is happening because enough consciousness has been raised to create a field, an energetic morph field that is attracting this information and knowledge to us at this time. See what I'm saying to you? It's not like on a calendar, this is going to happen in 2025 or whatever. I don't go for that. And it's all over the internet. It's all over YouTube. Everybody's got a
Yes,
date for
it
everything, you know, and some astrological thing or whatever. No man knows the hour nor the day because it's only when consciousness has come together to create it, because everything comes out of consciousness. It's the ground of consciousness.
Very good answer. I think that would be very helpful because you are
Sure.
correct. Like every, I feel like every so many decades or whatever, somebody has like the date, you know, when something big is going to happen. And
Oh,
yet, you know, I think everything, you know, is gradual. I also wanted to ask you, we kind of talked about gnosis here. What does it look like to, I don't know how else to ask this question, I guess, to live one with the divine, consciously aware of that?
consciously aware of
Of that oneness.
that oneness. I think we do live with it all the time. I don't think there's any break other than in our own minds that tends to move in and out of perceptions of things and not the reality of things. I'm not sure I know how to answer that, to be honest with you, in a way that maybe you're asking it. If you want to say a
I
little bit
guess.
more about it.
Okay, so I think that we talked a little bit earlier about having this direct experience
Yes,
of the
okay.
divine. So what does that look like for you then on a daily basis?
Well, it looks, well, at this point, what I know is I have access to it when I'm ready to have access to it. It's like my television in here with all these thousand stations on it. It's just blank right now. It's not doing a thing. But that doesn't mean the frequency is not continuing, the program is not continuing until I put in the right numbers, and then I connect to it and it shows up. So that's the way I see about the divine. The divine is always the background of our reality, but we kind of don't connect into it 24/7, but it is always there for us 24/7. And I think that it is our choice to choose when we want to come into that, to be aware of that relationship. It doesn't make it happen. It just makes us more aware of what's happening all the time. That's the best way. We're getting into an area where language is so fails us to get into some of these things that are so spiritual and so Gnostic, I guess we could call it that.
Definitely. I think people can sometimes struggle because, and I'm just gonna again say on this path or moving in this direction or feeling a sense of wholeness. I think people really do struggle with that because we do have our egoic minds that are the loudest that really guides us, you know, usually every day. So even when, let's say, we do stop and we meditate and then we go about our days, there still seems to be this struggle with allowing that inner voice, if you want to call it that, inner light, whatever term, to take precedence and be the, you know, the leading voice and the to guide us as we move about our lives. It's still always that inner chatter that always seems to be the one that we listen to the most.
Well, the ego's voice is very loud, and it's been here a long time, and that's the voice that people has heard in the sense of creating this third dimensional experience and the systems of 3D. And I think it is there's a word that people get really bothered with, but it's repentance, because immediately start thinking of, repenting from your sins and all that. But it's a Greek word, metanoia, that means to change your mind. And I think we need to go into a state of changing our mind and changing our ability of how we vision ourselves, each other, and this earth that we live in. I just feel like it takes practice. You know, the old adage, practice the presence, practice the presence. I don't think people do that. I think we're looking for magic. I think we're looking for some miracle to just happen, some like God in the burning bush or, you know, something like that. And that's not the way it happens. The divine is in the subtle. It's in the subtle aspects of ourself. It's the whisper of our soul. It is the deep, innate knowing. But the ego's voice of belief is so much bigger than the knowing part that sometimes we know something, then we give it over to the head and say, do we believe it? And then it's been changed into something, and we knew it all along. So until we practice how to make the knowing great, the heart greater than just the head. I call it that. The knowing is the heart. It is her, the feminine, the Sophia of our being, and he's been the head of her. That's a Bible thing for the man is the head of the woman and she should be quiet and all this kind of thing. Now, if you change that metaphysically to your head and your heart, you'll understand what that's talking about. It's not talking about men and women and our body identity. It's talking about the male and the female aspects of the heart working with the mind and the mind working with the heart. And I think that's happening. I'm a part of something called heart math. I don't know if you've heard of heart
I
math.
have heard of heart math.
Yes. So I'm a practitioner of heart math because I teach how to connect the heart and the human brain together. So there's things out there that people can learn, and you just have to realize we didn't get here overnight, and we're not going to get to this new earth and 5D and heaven and paradise and whatever overnight either. It's a process, and we don't tend to do well with process in the West because process is more feminine, where product is more male. We want the product. We want it now. We want it just the way we want it, and we don't know how to let her take what he has given her and build it. That's what the feminine does. It takes from him the seed, and then it forms it in gestation so that it can be manifested as a norm of life. So there's a whole formula here that I think we have to look at that's making these things work that you're kind of bringing up today. At least
Definitely.
that's my idea for what it's worth.
So what inspired you to found the Academy for Spiritual Awakening and kind of like what's your vision for this?
Thank you. Well, the main reason is I have so many teachings that I have done for so many years that I don't want them to be lost. So I'm kind of looking at my legacy at this time in life and how that these can remain. So I begin to decide this was a great time in my life to produce academy for people. And, you know, I start with Bible 101, chakra, you know, the whole thing that I've been teaching all these years have been made into classes and things that people can. So I'm trying to meet people wherever they are, you know, in the academy. And that's the idea of it. It's to have a way of sharing my path to those who may have a similar cross with me on their path. So
Beautiful.
that's really the reason of it, more than anything, is just to bring it all together that I've been about for 60 years.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And if there's one message that you could share with the world right now, what would it be?
I think my message to anyone is be still and know. The I am of you is God. If we can just shut it down for 1 second, we have entered eternity. People say to me, I can't meditate. It seems forever for 20 minutes or 5 minutes. I said, it is forever because it's eternity you've tapped into. So I'm telling people to take responsibility to move away from all the distraction. We live in such a world of so much distraction. A Course in Miracles says, just give me 5 minutes. Now I'm a meditative person from Transcendental Meditation, and they ask for 20 minutes twice a day. So I practice that with a mantra. So everybody has to find that place where you slip through the gaps between your thoughts and you enter into the silent you that is observing all this out here and saying, I'm detaching from all of this going into the world. I see that all things are working with a plan and a purpose for the highest and best good. And I've chosen to be here at this time. And I am exactly where I need to be. I am whom I'm supposed to be. And because the divine is, I am. That's
Beautiful.
my suggestion.
Thank you so much, David, and thank you so much for being on
Thank
today.
you.
If
I've
people
really
want to
enjoyed
connect
it.
with you, me too. If people
Yes.
want to connect with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, just simply you can do www.davidholtz, Holtz is like your pulse, with an H.com, and you can get on most all the things that I have on that way. It's davidholtz.com.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed our time together.
Likewise, thank you as well. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And I hope everybody has a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.